Rabbi Reuven Tarragon, November 18th, 2018, near Yishuvei Soch Hanukkah.
Okay, it's great to be here. And yishar koach to Bernie for arranging this one and all the shiurim that he arranges. It's really great. Now, I gave him a lot of different titles, and some of them were easier and less intense, but he wanted the most intense one, so okay. We should all be ready. We decided to address the topic of Hanukkah, which of course is around the corner. And I think the most basic topic within the halachot of Hanukkah, obviously the most basic topic within the hashkafa of Hanukkah, is my Hanukkah, and the relationship between the different events that Hanukkah is commemorating. But within the halachot of Hanukkah, step one, the chiv of lighting Neirot, is formulated in the Gemara in Shabbat of Chafalef Amid Bet on the second page, right, where it says, Mitzvah Hanukkah, Ner Ishuveto. Very interesting formulation. As we all know, Hanukkah is unique in the fact that there are multi-layered chiyuv. The base chiyuv is Ner Yishuveto. The Mahadrin second level is Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad. And the highest level, Mahadrin, and Mahadrin, of course, is the changing number of Nerot per night, the machloket between Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel. The Ner Yishuveto level is often overlooked because we're all Mahadrin and Mahadrin. We don't fulfill Ner Yishuveto. We fulfill much higher levels. But the point I want to make today, and I'm going to spoiler alert from the very beginning, I'm basically going to tell you at the beginning what the shiur is going to be, and the rest is going to be fleshing it out. The point I want to make is that even though the Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin levels expand the Chiyuv way beyond Ner Yishuveto, the focus remains on the home, even in these other levels. And it remains on the home in two different ways, and we're going to speak about each of the ways, and most importantly, the relationship between them. The focus remains on the home as far as the way we fulfill the mitzvah, the kiyum ha-mitzvah, the format for fulfillment, and it remains on the home, according to many opinions, even in the basic nature of the chiyuv and how it's generated. And just to make sure we all understand the terms I'm using, when we talk about a mitzvah, we can talk about the chiyuv, what you need in order to become chayiv in the mitzvah, and we talk about the fulfillment, the kiyum ha-mitzvah. And here, Ner Yishuveto, according to everyone, is important for how we fulfill, and according to many also, generating the chiyuv hinges on a home as well. And if, according to those who say that even the chiyuv depends on a home, the next question we need to ask is whether the bayit's important in the kiyum and its importance in the chiyuv are linked to each other. And I'm already going to throw out an interesting case which people can ruminate over. In Yerushalayim, there are many apartments where many guys or girls, you know, different, live. Most famous in the Mir Yeshiva, you can have an apartment, 12 guys there, they're sharing an apartment. Comes time to light Neirot Chanukah. They all want a light. They all want a light right in front of the door. How do you do that? So they build these cubbies. And if it all has to be within 10 tefachim, these cubbies stacked up of 12 menorot right from the floor. Is that correct or incorrect? What I mean by that is, does the need to fulfill the mitzvah connected adjacent to the home, is that independent of the chiyuv? Or is it because the chiyuv is connected to the home? In which case, only the first chiyuv is connected to the home. Are all of the chiyuv connected to the home? So that's an interesting nafka mina to start thinking about, and we'll get back to it as we flush things out. So that's basically the two parts of the shir. We're going to begin by discussing the kiyum ha-mitzvah's need to be linked to the home, and that's according to everyone. The degree of that linkage is a little bit of a debate, as we're about to see. And then we're going to get to the higher level, which is saying that even the chiyuv depends on the home. And then we'll see the different opinions about that. Okay. Let's start, as I mentioned, with the kiyum ha-mitzvah. Where we light. L'chatchila, and then we'll see that it's ma'akev even b'di'evet. The Gemara, two places, still on page two. Shabbat of Chafalef Amid Bet begins with a braita. Tanur Avanan, Ner Chanukah mitzvah lehanicha al petach beito mibchutz. Maybe this is one of the biggest differences between Hanukkah in Israel and Hanukkah in Chutz Laretz. And anyone who's ever been Hanukkah in Israel and sees the glass boxes outside, I'm sure it's already made it back to Chutz Laretz. People start to use it for sure in Tinek, places like Tinek, where people do things the way, you know, the way it's supposed to be done, the original way. So you have the glass boxes outside the door. When I was a kid growing up in New York, I never saw anyone lighting outside. Right, because Sakono, the custom developed light inside, okay. But in any case, the Gemara says, the Braita, that the mitzvah is to place it, al petach habayit on the outside. Rabba, Samagoris Rava, on the next Amud, Chavbet Amud Aleph, uses the Lashon of the Breita, but takes it a step further. Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Lahanicha, clearly he's building off the Breita. not only al petach beto, but bitefach hasmucha lepetach. It has to be super connected to the home. Now one could say, based on these two gemarot, that this is an ideal. The ideal is to connect it to the home. The question is this basic? How important is this? And that we see from an interesting tshuva of the Rivash that relates to someone who lit the Chanukiah in shul and then goes home to light with his family. He made the bracha in shul. Should he make a bracha again when he gets home? So first of all, why do we light in shul? As we said, we're supposed to light at home. So there are many different explanations. For example, the Aruch Chaim says we light in shul for people who are living in the shul, visitors. In the old days, visitors traveling through town would live in the shul, that's their bayit. Or people who are not baki on how to make the brachos or how to light, which is interesting. The manhig, another one of the French we've shown him, says we do it zecher lemikdash. Because remember, we're commemorating the nace that happened in the mikdash. The place that's most sensible to commemorate that would be our mikdash ma'at. The Rivash, an Algerian Mishonim, he says that we do it in shul because shul is the best place to be mefarsim the nes, because there's a lot of people there. He even makes the point, in the times of Chazal when we lit on the doorways so it was out for everyone to see, but today, says the Rivash, in our times where we light inside, so not many people see it, so we light it in shul to compensate for the lack of pirsim and how we've changed the lighting at home. Okay, whatever the reason is that we light in shul, just to bring it to the point, what happens when we come home? So the Rivash writes in it. What? Well, we know the first year, that's how it all happened. The question is in subsequent years, and by the way, part of the question is when the mitzvah to light Neros Chanukah developed, but irrespective of whether they lit in the Mikdash afterwards, right? Definitely if you want to commemorate. So the Rivash writes, if you look at the end of the piece here, and the piece talks about the first part as well, last two lines. When we call Makom, the Rama quotes this la'alacha, and it's interesting to see what proof text he quotes. How does he prove that you must light in the home and you're not yotze if you lit somewhere else? The mitzvah Chanukah neri shuveto. What does that have to do with this? Neri shuveto is about who needs to light how many candles. No, it's not about where you light. Or maybe it is. The Rivash obviously understands that the reason we link and must link the lighting to the home is because the base level of the chiyuv is meant to be neri shuveto, and that remains with us no matter how we're lighting today. So if I was only allowed a few sources, you know, trees issues, whatever, you know, this would definitely be on it, because you see the significance of that gemara. Okay, the question now becomes why? Why is it necessary to light in conjunction with the home? So here there's a very interesting Pnei Yeshua, which is not going to satisfy people. So I already said that it's just the foil for the continuation of this year, so don't panic or anything when I read the Pnei Yeshua, but the Pnei Yeshua says what he says, so it's important for us to be aware. The Pnei Yeshua says that since the goal of the mitzvah is piersum, they made it as if it's a chova in the home, because lighting it on the doorway of the home is the best way to be mefarsim the nes. We're left wanting. We're not satisfied with that, right? Is lighting on the doorway of the home the best way to be mefarsim the nes? Did they not have Central Park in the time of the Pnei Yeshua? But that's what he says. That's what he says. The best way to check whether the Pnei Yeshua is right is to look at cases where linking to the home causes us to sacrifice a level of piersim. If the reason we're lighting in conjunction with the home is because that's the best way to be mefarsim, if we're forced to choose between the connection to the home and piersim, which would we choose? Piersim. But if the connection to the home is for some other reason, then that may even trump piersim. And this issue we find in two directions, laterally and vertically. Let's start with lateral, horizontal. Let's say a person lives in a mansion, right? Their home is very much receded from a Reshut HaRabim. So should they light on the doorway of their home or light in the doorway of their chatzah? Tosfot addresses this case. We're on the bottom of page 2 here. And he says that the mitzvah to light al petach beto mayri deleka chatzah elabayit omeid tzarech l'mashut harabim. It's talking about where there's no chatzah and the home borders are mashut harabim. Most homes where it can be seen from the doorway. Avalim yesh chatzah lefnei abayit mitzvah lehaniach al petach chatzah. But if there's a chatzah there, you light it on the entrance way to the chatzer. Meaning, according to Tosfos, Pnei Yeshua is right. The ikar is the issue of piersim. However, Rashi's language here on the bottom of page 2 is more cryptic. Rashi writes, Mishum pirsume nisa v'lo birshut harabim ela b'chatzero. What does Rashi mean when he says that? B'chatzero, the home in the chatzer, or the chatzer bordering on Rishut HaRabim? So if we take a look at page 3, the Tur quotes the opinion of Tosfot, by the way. The Beit Yosef and the Bach both comment that Rashi disagrees, and Rashi holds, you have to light at the doorway to the home, even if it's not near Rishut HaRabim. What do you see from here? That according to Rashi, the link to the home is not for Pearson. It's something of value in and of itself. We see the same idea on the vertical plane as well. What do I mean? If we continue looking at page 3, the Gemara in Shabbat of Chafalef Amebed, Ravina quotes Rava, who says that Ner Chanukah needs to be placed within 10 tefachim of the ground. He brings an interesting proof there from a camel, etc., not important for what we're talking about today. The first question is, do we paskin this way? Because the Gemara rejects his proof. The Rif and the Rambam do not quote this halacha of lighting within 10 of the ground. And the Meiri explains why that makes sense. He says, it's better to light above 10, because more people will see it above 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim is about this high. More people are going to see it above 10 tefachim than below 10 tefachim. What's the Meiri's assumption? The placement is all about Pearsum, people seeing it. However, the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, we have here the Shulchan Aruch, both quote this halacha. Mitzvah lehanicho lemata miyutvachim. The mitzvah is to place it below 10. The question now is why. So the Rosh and the Mordechai both explain that it's not enough for people to see it. It's important for people to realize that it's Ner Chanukah. And if you're lighting it outside your door above 10 tefachim, it's going to look like a door lamp. Better to light it below 10 when nobody places a door lamp, and it'll be clear that it's Ner Chanukah, though less people will see it. At least they'll know what it's for. This concept has its roots in the Gemara. If we look at Shabbat Daf Chaf Bet Amud Bet, the Gemara there says if a person is holding their Ner Chanukah in their hands, even if you say Adlak Osa Mitzvah, you're not Yotze. Why? Haroa Omer Litzarchu Denokila. People think you're carrying it as a lantern. It has to be clear that it's Ner Chanukah. And this is why the Gemara said on Chaf Aleph Amud Bet, next source, that you have to have a shamish. Not just to avoid the Hana from the Nerot Chanukah, but so that it's clear the other Nerot are for Chanukah. So this is one way of explaining it. Just one second. Really, the goal is Pearson, but we want it to be clear that it's Nerot Chanukah. But if you look carefully at the Rush, a careful reading of the Rush, you look when he explains the reason on this bolded part, second line from the bottom of the Rush, he says, V'gam ika Pearson anes tfei. When you light below 10, it also is better Pearson. It sounds from the Rush that this is not the only reason why we light below 10. And the Ritva specifies what this other reason is. Very interestingly, bottom of page 3, the Ritva says, it's better to light within 10, so you and your Ner are within the same Rishut. As we know in general, 10 Tfachim from the ground is the same Rishut for Hilchot Shabbat, for Hilchot Sukkah. Above 10 Tfachim is already a new Rishut. Why would there be a formal requirement of having your Neros within your Rishut? What if you walk out to the street, you go to the supermarket, do the neighborhood have to be within your same Rishut? Meaning it's within the same Rishut as your home. Again, we're seeing this need, this interest in linking it to the home. We saw that something, we should finish the point. We saw it laterally, and now we see it vertically. And just to explain the significance of this, why? Why do we want to link it to the home? So Rashi on the bottom of page 3 says, if it's not linked to the home, it won't be clear that it's your Neirot. Einu nikur shebala bayit inichom sham. This could be just explaining why you want it within one tefach of the home. But the simple explanation is, the Neirot Chanukah are meant to be linked to the home. The kiyum hamitzvah. It's ma'akev, as we saw in the Rivash with the shul case, that you light at home, not just in the vicinity of the home, but in a way that's linked to the home. Questions and comments. The first of us over here. Yes.
So the Gemara is showing, why would putting it in the Petah alleviate the Hashash of the circle?
Putting it below 10, they're talking about. They're talking about how high it is.
When you're holding it, they don't use someone to think that you're only holding it for your own benefit. Why is putting it in your doorway alleviate that?
I don't know if putting it in the doorway is to alleviate it. Putting it below 10 is to alleviate it. When you're not, when your person's carrying something and walking with it, right, there's very good reason to think they're using it for a light for themselves. Yes.
The flip side, though, Pirsumei Nisa, the Gemara later on says that Nicha Lamala Me Esrim Ama is possible.
Right. One thing is for sure. If you light Nerot Chanukah in a way that nobody can see it, you're not Yotze. Clearly, everyone agrees there's a goal of piercing. The question we're asking is whether the linkage to the home is to support that goal or for some other reason. In case I was unclear, piercing is definitely on the table and the central goal. The question is, why are we linking it to the home? Yes?
Can you review the difference between lateral and vertical?
The halacha or what the words mean? Because it always confuses me too. I always have to remember that when I went to camp.
What was the point that you were making?
The point I'm making about both. Well, I wasn't saying verses, I was showing parallel. That's another word to throw in, right? Right? Meaning, we discussed the degree to which it needs to be linked to the home horizontally. How close to the doorpost? Okay. Meaning, do we want it linked to the home even where we sacrifice Pearson because there's a chutzar in between? That was our lateral question, right? And do we want it linked to the home as far as the height, even if we're sacrificing Pearson because it's low? The Ritva's explanation of why we want to put it so low is because we want it to be linked to the Rashut of the home. We're seeing in both those cases, both Rashi's understanding laterally and the Ritva's understanding vertically, of how important the linkage to the home is even when we're sacrificing Pearson, which shows that the linkage to the home isn't to accomplish Pearson. It's for something else that we're willing to sacrifice Pearson for.
There are two different approaches.
Well, the two different questions, but the same root question behind them. Yes, back.
Why can't you say that the linkage to the home is less than Pearson Menace? It's just maybe a more important or different Pearson Menace to the people.
What would the different one be? You mean for the people in the home? Why are we lining on the outside? You're saying we want both. We want the people on the outside, the people on the inside.
Well, like the Rishash is saying that you don't want it in shul because you're going to lose the people in the home.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Meaning we want it to the home because we're not just interested in what's going on outside, we're interested in people inside, and it's like a pshara. You could say that. The Ritva definitely doesn't say that.
Right.
The Ritva definitely doesn't say that. Rashi, you could explain that way. The truth is Rashi is very unclear to begin with. So, yes.
Are you suggesting there's two different kiyumim?
It sounds like I'm being accused. No. Is that what? Am I suggesting what?
There's two different kiyumim and Pearson. Exactly. One for the bias and one for the rest of the
point. He suggested that. I'm not suggesting that. I'm saying the goal is Pearson for everyone. He didn't use those words. It's true. I didn't mean to accuse him either. But in any case, I'm not talking about the different directions of Pearson, though we'll talk about it later. I'm talking about Pearson as the goal, as we clarified before, but the linkage to the home as being to emphasize something else. Yes?
You get to the idea that perhaps then, if it's so linked to the home, that's why if you have an apartment, you're going to light by there, even if everybody's not going to see it.
Well, that's a tension we have. That's an even better example. And Wiesen was talking about before, when you light so high up that you can't see it, so then we're not going to totally give up on Pearson. That we're not willing to do. But the question is, are we going to stretch it and sacrifice some of the Pearson? Okay. Let's. Yes?
I understand the point you're trying to drive home.
Thank you. That makes me feel much better. Now you can say whatever you want. It's a very good pun, by the way. You understand the point I'm trying to drive home, yes?
But practically speaking, where would you light anyway at night? Somebody's going to see it. Market's not open at night.
Oh, you meant, who are we lighting for? The Gemara talks about the importance of lighting while there are still people walking around, you know, which is very important. The question is how that applies today, where people are around all the time, right? Which is an interesting question that's discussed. But definitely the timing is very important, sure.
Can you light on the web?
Pearson Manes. I had an interesting thing to say about the internet. I don't know how much I'm allowed to go off topic. You know, 60 seconds? It's an interesting thing that we live in the days of internet, so everything you do is amplified. If you choose to put it up, I think people have to be much more careful about what they put up than we did in the past. What we post. You have a WhatsApp group in yeshiva where there's 100 people. So when you put something out there, number one, you're causing 100 people to stop what they're doing and look at what you posted. Is it worth it? Number two, are you inspiring people and helping them become better? Or are you, I mean, it's amplified. And you even think about, I was speaking about this Shabbat, you know, within Judaism, we're very careful about the impressions we make on people. That's why, beyond the three sins for which a person should give up their life, if a person is asked, pressured, to do a sin in front of 10 Jews, any sin, they give up their lives. We're very sensitive to how things impact people. So think about posting something on the internet that's wrong or doing something wrong and how that amplifies for Judaism that's so sensitive to impressions that are made. And I think so much of Judaism is impacted by norms that are generated on the internet, which has nothing to do with right and wrong, just what people are doing. So we have to be sensitive to that. Pearson, back to our topic, right? Yes! Eventually, questions just lead to questions. So I suggest this will be the last one for now. We'll continue, no?
Yes. It becomes Ein L'Davar Sof.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, yes.
It seems like the Achot Chaim says that if you can, since you can be Yotzei in Shul, it kind of, he doesn't hold this connection to the house.
I don't think the Achot Chaim says you're Yotzei in Shul to the point where you don't make a bracha at home. Did you see that there? He's not saying you're Yotzei if you lit there. He's saying that's why we're knowing to do it there, for those who can't, etc. Let's move to the second part of our topic. I promise I'll be available afterwards for questions until next Shabbos. But for right now, let's move on to the second part, which is the question of the Chiyuv. Let me formulate the question, because very often the terminologies are used, and I don't know if people always understand them. There's two types of mitzvot as far as where the Chiyuv comes from. The general mitzvah is a chiyuv in the person, a chiyuv in the gavra. A person has a responsibility to shake a lulav, to blow a shofar or hear the shofar. It has nothing to do with whether he has a lulav. You may not have a lulav, you may not have the hope of getting a lulav, but you're chayiv in lulav. The lulav is a condition for fulfilling the mitzvah, not a condition for being chayiv in the mitzvah. There are other types of mitzvahs where an object is a condition for the chiyuv. For example, if you don't own a home, you're not chayiv in the mitzvah of mezuzah. It's not that you're chayiv in mezuzah, you've got to find a home to be machmir. You're not chayiv in mezuzah if you don't have a home. In fact, one could take it a step further. One could say the home isn't just a condition for you being chayiv. The chayiv itself is about the home. It's not that you're chayiv when you have a home. It's that a home needs a mezuzah, and you're chayiv to put it up because you live in that home. The best way I can formulate it is a fire code. It's not that the home is a condition for being chayiv in a fire code. The home needs a fire code. You don't need a fire code. The home needs a fire code. If you own that home, you're responsible to take care of the need the home has for a fire code. That's the question we're asking about Ner Chanukah. If you would disagree about fire code, we don't have to have a conversation.
How is this not Chatzar Chavah?
It is Chefza Gavra, but it's two levels. We can say it anyway. The question is whether we understand it. And especially because the Chefza, there's two ways of looking at it, which I just clarified. Unfortunately, the Briscoe world has led to simplification of everything. As we know, in every sugya, there's two sides. There's a line that draws down the middle. And all we have to decide is it on this side or on this side. Reality isn't as simple as brisk, and please don't think I'm accusing the briskers of thinking this way, they're not, but just the way it's been understood by a lot of people, and in this particular case it's critical, as we can see as we go on. Okay, I'm sorry for explaining things in the language you actually understand. You know, when I talk to Talmidim and they use words to explain things to me that they don't themselves don't understand, sometimes I'll take off my kippah and say, I'm from Nebraska, explain it to me without using any words you don't understand. Ah, there you go, interesting. Okay, anyway, getting back to the point. Neirot Chanukah. So one could say Neirot Chanukah is like lulav. It's a chiyuv gavra. And this seems to be the opinion of Tosfot. We're continuing with the Makorot on page 4. Because there's a question that comes up in the Gemara and the Rishonim about a very interesting phenomena we have regarding Chanukah. Just before we get to the top of page 4, I meant to quote here the Rambam by Mezuzah, where you see an excellent example of the chiyuv being about the home from the Rambam's formulation. Bayit shein lo arba amot al arba amot pater min ha-mezuzah. A home that's not 4x4 is pater. The home is pater? It doesn't say a person who lives in a home that's not 4x4 doesn't have to put a mezuzah on the home. The home is pater. Anyway, we all know the Gemara in Shabbat and in Sukkah in a few places talks about how there are three brachot we say on Neirot Chanukah. We all know them, I don't have to go over them. And what's unique about Chanukah is a person makes a bracha, even if they can't light, just seeing Neir Chanukah. Haroah, Mevarech on the first night too. Shechianu, and of course, Sha'asa Nisim. The Rishonim were bothered. Why did Chazal make a takana to make a bracha when you see Chanukah, as opposed to any other mitzvah? If you don't have a sukkah, do you make a bracha when you see someone else's sukkah? If you don't have a mezuzah, do you make a bracha when you see someone else's mezuzah? Of course not. Only by Chanukah. Why? Tosfot explains because there's a lot of people who don't have homes and therefore can't fulfill the mitzvah. What about mezuzah? Tosfot, in fact, asks that question on the next line. What it sounds like from Tosfot is a person without a home is chayiv in the mitzvah, but he can't fulfill it. Now, by lulav, that's not a problem. Why isn't it a problem? Because if you can see the lulav, you can shake the lulav. Meaning, you can ask the person to be makne it to you, be makne it back. But by Neirot Chanukah, if you don't have a home, you can't do it. As we just saw, the kiyum needs to be done in the home. This makes a lot of sense if you assume, even without a home, you're chayiv in the mitzvah. Now, what's interesting is, if Tosfot believes it's a chiyuv in the gavra, So then why does he ask a kasha for mezuzah? He should know there's a difference between the two. We're going to get back to this later. I have an interesting pshat on this. In any case, one could say otherwise, though, that the chiyuv depends on having a home. And this seems to be what Rashi understood. Because Rashi in Shabbat goes out of his way to struggle to find people who would need Birchas Ari'iyah. He says it was instituted for people who haven't lit yet, which is interesting because it sounds like from Rashi, if you're on your way home to light, and you see Neros Chanukah, you're supposed to make the bracha before you've lit. Which is interesting, halachic point, we'll get back to it later. Or someone on a boat. There were no homeless people in Worms. Rashi didn't understand that it could have been instituted for people who didn't have a home. Why does Rashi not give that explanation? And it's generally explained because Rashi felt that if you don't have a home, you're not chayiv. So there's no need for a bracha. The only person we need this for is someone who has a home, but isn't lighting there, or isn't lighting there yet. So we need Birchas Ari'iyah for them. This is how the Ran explains the Havamina of the Gemara in Shabbat Daf Chof Gimel, that a person who's an achsanoi, he's away staying in an inn, Amar Rav Sheshet achsanoi chayiv b'ner Chanukah. The Ran asks, what's the Chiddush? Everyone's chayiv in Ner Chanukah. So the Ran says, I would think that Ner Chanukah is like mezuzah. And if you don't have a home, you're putter. That's why the Gemara has to tell you that an achsanoi is chayiv. Now, of course, the key question regarding that Ran is, what's the Kamash Malan? Is the Kamash Malan that you're chayiv even though you don't have a home? Or is the Kamash Malan that an achsanoi is chayiv because we view him as having a home? Which way does it sound like from the Ran? Everyone can take a minute to read it because it's pretty short. It's not even a trick question, so you can go with just the way it seems. Delo tema din ner chanukah gedin mezuzah de kol mishein lo bayit patur min mezuzah. Don't say that. Meaning the Gemara is teaching you that ner chanukah is not like mezuzah. It does not depend on owning a home. But one could explain the maskana otherwise, and in fact, the Ranim Sachim does sound otherwise, as we'll see in a couple of minutes. So we just fleshed out our question. Yes?
Suppose you have a home, but mm-hmm. you're going to be away.
Right. That's achsanoi.
Do you have to ask someone to come and light it?
That's the question. So first of all, no one says if your home is empty, someone needs to light it. Okay, the question is whether if you own a home, do you need to light somewhere else in another home, and that's what's complex about achsanoi.
Why shouldn't you?
It's not a fire code.
Your home will be there without
that. Because it's not a fire code. Meaning it's not that a home where there's people needs. The same way we say by tzitzis, it's not any beged needs tzitzis. It's a beged owned by a person needs tzitzis.
You can make yeah. case mm-hmm. homes,
that's an excellent question. Or a home with two psachim, which is a different question, but all these things are discussed. But let's continue. Where we at? Meaning, so again, as I mentioned, there's two ways to formulate the chiyuv. One, if it's dependent on a home. One is that it's a chiyuv gavra that depends on having a home, or that it's a chiyuv in the home, like the fire code. And this seems to be this latter way, the way the Rambam understood it. Look at the next source on page 4. Hilchot Chanukah, Perek Dal, Halacha Aleph. Kama nerot hu madlik b'chanukah. Mitzvasa sheyihyeh kol bayit ubayit madlik nerachad. How does the Rambam formulate the chiyuv? The bayit needs to light a candle. Very similar to what we saw at the top of the page by mezuzah, right? I'll soon explain the difference. Where do we see a linkage, a similarity, a connection in halacha between mezuzah and ner chanukah, by the way? The Gemara says that you put the neros chanukah on the left side of the doorpost so that the mezuzah is on one side, neros chanukah on the other side, which makes a lot of sense if they're both about the home. But what's the difference between the way the Rambam formulates it by chanukah versus by mezuzah? In both places he talks about bayit. What's the difference? This is a very important point. I think it's a beautiful point, by the way, but it's a very important point even if you don't like it. The word bayit is used in two different connotations, with two different connotations. Anyone? By mezuzah, bayit means a house. By Chanukah, bayit means a family. Not a family of biological relatives. The inhabitants of the house. Mitzvasa shehiyeh kol bayis ubayis madlik ner echod. I think this can be explained, just to elaborate a little bit more, similar to what we find in the beginning of Sefer Shemot, when it says by Yaakov, Eile Shemot b'nei Yisrael abayim Mitzrayma, ish et Yaakov ish uveito bau. Or, like we find by Karban Pesach, a chabura of people coming together by Karban Pesach, it's family, don't necessarily live in the same home, but it's eaten in the framework of the home. And it sounds this way from Rashi as well, fourth source from the bottom of page 4. Ner Yeshu Beito, Ner Echad B'chol Laila, V'ish V'chol B'nei Beito, Sagi Luhu B'ner Echad. And I think this focus on the inhabitants of the house can be explained through a very interesting midrash, bottom of page 4, which says that the Greeks made two gzerot against the Jews. Anyone who had a brit milah or put a doorpost on their home was threatened with death. Now, we understand brit milah, Shabbos, doorpost on the home. Maybe the explanation is that the Greeks wanted people to emphasize their involvement outside the home, to not have a separation. I don't think it's just tzniut, to be involved in the polis. A citizen, a man, is about the citizen outside the home. Judaism believes in people being involved outside the home for sure, but believes first of all on people having a focus and a loyalty, a separation between what's inside and what's outside. Like the Ashkafa, don't like the Ashkafa, you definitely see it within the halacha here. The nafkamina of this question, which is really what we're talking about the rest of the way, of whether the chiyuv is linked to the home or not, expresses itself on every level of the mitzvah. On the Ner Yeshu Beito level, on the Mahadran level, and on the Mahadran Min HaMahadran level. As I introduced in the beginning, the Ner Yeshu Beito and how you understand it threads every level of the mitzvah. Let's begin with Ner Yeshu Beito. How do we understand the Me'ikar Adin that one person lights for everyone? What would you say? What are the two ways of looking at it? Because as we mentioned, there's only two ways. What are the two ways of looking at it? Anyone? What? Basically, we're all chayiv. But, one person does it for all of us. Now, it's strange, because generally in mitzvah begufo, you can't do that. Like tefillin, we can't make someone a shliach, as convenient as it may sound. Where do we have a mitzvah where we can make someone a shliach to fulfill for us? Giving tzedakah, for example. Right? Someone's giving tzedakah for you, so you need to light a candle, so he lights it for him and lights it for you. Okay. But if you understand the chayiv is on the home, it's a totally different mechanism. It's not he's lighting it for me. There's a need for a mezuzah. When I put the mezuzah on the door, I'm not being moitzi you. I'm making sure the house has a mezuzah. I'm making sure the house has a fire code. The nafkamina between these, it's really about the result, not about the action, in other words. The nafkamina of this would be how we understand the solution of achsanoi. What do I mean? The Gemara back in the middle of page 4 says an achsanoi is chayiv im ner chanukah, but there's a problem. He's not at home. So what does the Gemara say he should do? He gives a few pennies to the owner of the home. Well, what does this do? So according to the first way, it's you're making him a shliach. You give him some money, you're contributing towards it, you're making him a shliach. And this is how the Ran initially understood achsanoi. Let's look at page 5. And the Gemara in Pesachim is a very confusing sugya about birchas hamitzvah, whether we say le or al. And one of the distinctions the Gemara makes there is when the mitzvah needs to be done by you, we say le. When the mitzvah can be done by someone else, we say al. That simplistic formulation generates hundreds of pages of Rishonim asking kashas from all over the place. The Ran there asks about Ner Chanukah. Second source, page 5. Umiyu ika lemedek v'hai klala. Tohad lakas Ner Chanukah, efshar lasot al yudei shaliach, v'afilu hachi mevarchim alea le hadlik. Doesn't fit. So interestingly, the chedushe anshe Hashem quote a girsa that we're supposed to say al hadlakat nerot, and explains it this way, because it's shlichut. But the Ran finds it very problematic, and therefore the Ran says v'ikal meimar, that since the Gemara in Shabbat says you contribute money, kevan sheinu yotzi ela b'shel atzmo, since you're being yotzi through your own money, hare ein mitzvah zu yichola l'itkayim al yedei acher. It's not someone doing it for you. It's your money. What does that mean? So I think the second way we explain it can explain this very beautifully. The money isn't to create shlichut. The money is to buy into the home. The achsanai is a person who has a home somewhere else, so he's part of the mitzvah. This isn't really his home. But by contributing to the home, he's buying a portion in the home. The nafkamina between these two explanations would be, what are you supposed to be saying when you give the guy money? Here, can you do the mitzvah for me too? Or can I buy a chelik into where we're staying? And just before people ask questions or disagree with me, I'll tell you the nafkaminas of this, which are very simple and very important. If you look at the next source here on page 5, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Itta with a very interesting shita, that as opposed to just about every other mitzvah, a katan, sheigi al-chinuch, who's old enough to understand what he's doing, can light Nerot Chanukah for the home. The Chacham Tzvi asks, Ma hefresh is there between Chanukah and Purim? A katan shlo yigi al-chinuch can't read the Megillah for you. Tshuva. Svirale de bechanaka kevin de lava karkafta de gavra mutu chiv hadlaka. Elo echad mikol b'nei habayit madlik bepetach hachotzer. He says, it's not a chiv gavra that the katan is being mowed to you. It's that someone from the home lights it in the home. The katan can do that. He understands what he's doing. A second nafkamina of this would be, let's say one person is lighting for everyone in the home. Do the other people need to be there when he's lighting so they can be motzi, then he or she can be motzi them? So the Bach says yes. You have to be standing there. Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote it lahalacha, which makes sense l'shitaso. He quotes the Itzer who says that a katan shegiyah l'chinuch can light because he's not being motzi anyone, he's taking care of the home. So therefore when someone in the house lights, other people don't need to be there because they're not being motzi through the other person. The home is getting its need taken care of. So this is level one. Stop for a second, take questions and comments. Level one is the first nafkamino, group of nafkaminot, of whether ner ishu beito is the root of the chiyuv, is about the level of ner ishu beito. How do we understand achsanoi? Can a katan light? And these have nafkaminos beyond also, but it starts with ner ishu beito. After questions, we're going to talk about the next level. Mahadrin is, of course, that what? Everyone should light themselves, right? Which side does this make more sense according to? If you say that really everyone's chayiv as a gavra and one person being motzi them, the Mahadran makes all the sense in the world. What's the Mahadran saying? Instead of getting off with someone else doing it, do it yourself. Mitzvah bo yosem mi b'shlucho, which is words in the Gemara I never thought would become a song, but I guess we ran out of words to make songs on. But in any case, mitzvah bo yosem mi b'shlucho, everyone should do it themselves. But if it's a chayiv in the home, Mahadran doesn't make any sense. I want to make my own fire code. I'm going to put up a second mezuzah. In fact, some of the Achronim ask, it's a bracha levatala. Coming attractions. Yes? In general, maybe by Birchas Hanen and because of Berov HaMadras Melech, where the din is only the bracha, but where there's a mitzvah to be done, it's much better to do the mitzvah yourself. What about on Shabbos? You mean Kiddush? So this mitzvah Berov HaMadras Melech of getting together to honor the Suda. There's no greater honor. We could talk about this longer. Far afield from what we're talking about, but that's basically the answer. And again, I promise till next Shabbos. It's good the shears on Sunday. Or bad that the shears on Sunday. But in any case, so as I just mentioned, if everyone is chayiv, really, the Mahadran is totally self-evident. But if the chayiv is in the home, where does Mahadran come from? The Pnei Maven, I have his biography later in this year, he says, Eich mevorachin kama b'nei adam b'bayis echad. V'chi b'bayis echad yikavu kama mezuzot. It's a bracha levatala. So the truth is, this could explain very beautifully the Shita, which is actually Rov Rishonim, that the Mahadran level isn't that each one lights their own candle, but the Balabayit lights a candle for everyone. That would explain why we don't want everyone lighting, because it's a bracha levatala. We want everyone lit for. This would make the Rambam l'shitaso. The Rambam holds that way, right? The Rambam who holds dim the bayit, it would make sense that he holds Mahadran is one person lighting for everyone. But according to the Ramah, which tell Ashkenaz and Paskin, that everyone lights for themselves and makes a bracha for themselves, we're stuck. The Svat Emet on the bottom of page 5 addresses this question in a very lengthy, worthwhile piece to read, and he says, we have no choice but to say the Chachamim were mechayiv, a second new level of the mitzvah. Again, the whole mitzvah is midrabanan. The base level, the Chachamim said, is every home should have a light. And then the Chachamim came along and said, there's another level of the mitzvah. Every individual should light. Now, I saw a frown here. I saw a frown. It's Pashup Shat in the Gemara. I'm bringing out something from later. How is it Pashup Shat in the Gemara? Anyone? Talk about a dialectic statement. How does the Gemara say it? Ner Chanukah, Ish Ubeiso. I'm already giving away the end. Okay, but I saw a frown. So I don't want frowns to last year, etc. So the Svat Emet says, the Chachamim were Mechadish, a second level of mitzvah. This is a huge Chiddush. It's a huge, huge Chiddush. The Nafkamina would be, how far does Mahadran go? I'll explain what I mean. Can we apply the concept of Mahadran to non-standard situations? Not where you're the second person in the home, that's the standard situation, but let's say you're not in your home. You're an Achsanoi. Now the Iker Din of Achsanoi is, your family lights at home. Okay? So you're a woman on the road, Your husband's at home, he lights, the home is taken care of.
Or vice versa.
Now, or vice versa, just give an example, right? Now, the person on the road, should they light with a bracha? So the Trumas Hadeshen, on the top of page 6, discusses this question. And he brings in the beginning of his piece, in the name of Echad Mehagdolim. Interesting formulation. I'm going to tell you in a minute who I think this was. But in any case, the Trumas Hadeshen brings, does he light without a bracha, with a bracha outside his home or not? So he quotes, as I said, Echad min hagdolim, who says, you can compare this to the regular case of Mahadrin. Right? Mahadrin, everyone in the home lights with a bracha, so here too, your person at home lit, and now you're lighting with a bracha. Same thing. The Ma'aril, who was one of the Rebbeim of the Trumas Hadeshen, has a tshuva where he says this next source, Umishim bracha levatale inkan. Kevin the Ein wrote to Lotzei Special Ishto. He doesn't want to be Yotzei with his wife at home. Memela chal chiyuv alav. It's the same thing like regular Mahadrin, right? One person's lighting, you know you're lighting yourself, you have in mind not to be Yotzei, you make the bracha again. So you know your wife is lighting at home, you don't want to be Yotzei with her. So now you're awake on your own. Simple, right? Again, if it's a chiyuv gavra, Mahadrin is totally understandable in all circumstances. You decide not to be Yotzei with somebody else, and now you make a bracha on your own. But in the end of the piece, the Trumas Hadeshen, going back to the top source, quotes Talmido shel Echad Mehagdolim. I think that's the Trumas Hadeshen. Talmido shel Echad Mehagdolim, who says you can't learn from the regular din. Why? The Hoel velo tzarech upater min hadavar im kein hayanikra hedjot im yasa. The Kolshken davi brach levatala. Kevan de lo ashkechin mahadrin zeh the Talmud. We find the concept of Mahadrin in the Gemara, but that's only in one circumstance. Where you're at home, and you're lighting as a second person, you can't learn from that to this. Again, if it was a natural reinstatement of the Chiyuv Gavra, it would be normal to learn one from the other. But if it's a unique Chiddush, we all know what we say when Chazal have a unique Chiddush. What do we say? Ein lecha bo, ela, chidusho. You can't extend it beyond what we have. The second nafkamina brings us to the third level. Listen carefully, because I'm going to formulate it, and the formulation is very helpful. Can you learn from the Mahadrin Din to the Mahadrin Min a Mahadrin Din? I'll explain again what I mean. Can you learn from the fact that we make a bracha on the Kiyum of Mahadrin that we would make a bracha on the Kiyum of Mahadrin Min a Mahadrin? Where would the question come up? Let's say it's the third night of Hanukkah, you forgot, you thought it was the second, you lit two candles. Now you remember you want to light the third candle. Do you make another bracha? You're being Mekayim Mahadrin Min Mahadrin. Another example. Let's say you only had two candles. Third night, you only have two. You're a wonderful Jew, but you only had two. Now you find the third. Do you make a bracha on Mahadrin Min Mahadrin? So let's think. If Mahadrin is a natural reinstatement of the Chiyuv Gavra, well, Mahadrin Min Mahadrin isn't that, so you have no precedent. But if Mahadrin is a Chiddush of Chazal, that we make a bracha on Mahadrin too, then you could say that just like we make a bracha on Mahadrin, we make a bracha on Mahadrin min a Mahadrin. You wouldn't have to, but you could. Rabbi Akiva Eger says the first way. Second part of page 6, he discusses exactly this. He says, you don't make a bracha on the extra candle. V'ein lahavi raya, d'shayach levarech ala hidr da'anan mevarechim kol b'nei bayis. Don't bring a proof from the fact that each one of us lights. After midina nerishu beso v'inuch b'chalal Mahadrin, even though me'ikar adin, we're really yotzi already. Zeino, d'shani hatam, Kevin de Ritzono liot me a Mahadrin kavanasa shalolatzeis b'shel ze amadlik umemelim achuyev midino. The din Mahadrin is a natural reinstatement. You had in mind not to be yotzei, and now you're chayv. You make a bracha. You can't learn from that to Mahadrin min a Mahadrin. Doesn't make any sense. But the Avudraham on the bottom of page 6 quotes the Reish Mem, which would make a lot of sense if it's the Rambam, based on his general direction in the sugya, who says no. V'imbirech v'hidlik v'acharkach nizdamnu lo neros lahadlik mevarech b'chol pa'am ufam. Wow. And if indeed we're talking about the creation of a new level of the mitzvah, right, there's the base level of Ner Yishu Beis, a link to the home, right? That's done as soon as the first person lights. Mahadrin is saying, now we have a new level of the mitzvah. Okay, everyone understands what I'm saying? How would that impact the Mir Yeshiva cubby holes? You could say the need to be Mekayim al Petach Habayit is only when you're being Mekayim which halacha? The Chiyuv of the Bayit. If you say that the link to the bayit is both the kiyum and the chiyuv, you could say the need to be mekayim in conjunction with the home is only when you're being mekayim the chiyuv of the home. That's the first lighting. The other lightings are free from the home. They're a chiyuv gavra. And maybe it doesn't have to be by the door. And we're going to see this in a very powerful way now in the last part of the shir in the Pnei Maven. We're going to continue with tshuva. Yes?
Another proof that the Mahadran is almost contradictory. The second night, so if you're doing the Mahadran, say it's the first night, you're doing the Mahadran, it looks like the second night.
It can be confusing which one you're doing, you're saying.
Right.
So that would support the concept of it being separate. Because you wouldn't do something separate if it's contradictory. Okay. I don't know if everyone understood, but I think I understood. Okay. The Shut Pnei Maven says something very powerful that I already mentioned in passing before. And he says that this concept of Mahadran, the second level, is already included in the initial formulation of Chazal. Because if you look at the Gemara calls it Ner Ish Ubeso, Lafiani Yotati, top of page 7. Dibener Chanukah Yesh Beis Mitzvos. Mitzvos Haguf, Vechovas Habayis Gamkein. Umeduk Tuk Lashon HaGemara. Ner Ish Ubeso. This would explain a very interesting sheet of the Magen Avraham, next source, who quotes the Bach as saying this. Let's say a person wasn't home the first night of Chanukah. Their spouse lit for them. The next night of Chanukah, they're home. Do they make a Shechianu? Meaning, so he says, if your spouse lit the first night, you make Shechianu when you light the second night. Because it's not just about the home, which was fulfilled. You're making a Shechianu on which aspect? Your mitzvah. Your gavra mitzvah. The Pnei Maven brings a very interesting nafkamina of this. You ready? Let's say you lit in shul. Okay? You lit in shul. And you come home. But someone else has already lit at home. Do you make a bracha when you light at home? He says no. Because as far as the bayit, done. As far as the gavra, done. What's his assumption about the chiyuv gavra? It doesn't have to be linked to the home. Which kiyum needs to be linked to the home in order for you to be yotze? The chiyuv bayit. You lit outside. Your gavra is done. You need to link in the home to be mekayim the chiyuv bayit, but that was already done. So you're done. This is where you see the two things at work. The ability to strip down the mitzvah to its components and isolate each one on its own. I want to conclude by asking a question about this individual chiyuv. Why is there an individual chiyuv? The notion that there should be a neirot in each home, I understand. But why do we have this individualistic chiyuv? So one could say, we want everybody to be mefars in the neis. We want everyone to be involved. Okay, that's a fair thing. But I think there's another way of explaining it. There's something else. And I want to explain it through the Mordechai. The Mordechai quotes the Ri, who talks about a minhag people had on Chanukah to go to fairs. Why would people go to fairs on Chanukah? Everyone knows the answer, right? Because Chanukah often fell out the same time as, right? So Jews would go to fairs, okay? And they would often be in a town where there were no other Jews. So there's no Pirsa Menes. Do you light or not? So the Gemara talks about Pirsa Menes being for Jews. Look inside the Mordechai. V'cheinu Marie, she'nagu b'nei adam she'yu holchin b'gayrish li'arid, v'lo hi'adar Yehudi b'osa ha'ir, u'madlikin b'veis ha'nochri. Why? So the Orchus Chaim explains, V'chein mi sheholech l'kfar shein bo Yisrael, v'lan sham b'lay l'chanukah, af al pi shein lo bayit sham miyuchad, shamanu sh'rab mishurim ha'noeg lahadlik u'levarech, l'zichron hanes. That's a new term. Not only is there importance in being mefarsem to others, there's an importance of internalizing to oneself. And in fact, one would say, the best way to express to others is something you've internalized to yourself, or the reverse, in a non-contradictory way. Spreading the word to others needs to spill over into yourself. And I think this answers Tosus Kasha from Mezuzah. Why is there a takana of Birchas Ariyah by Chanukah and not by Mezuzah? Because Chanukah, it's important for us to reflect on it too, even if it's a din in the home. And this could be what Tosus writes on the last line. Let's go back to our Tosus for a second again. It's on page 3, if I remember correctly, right? Where is the Tosfos about Mezuzah? It's on page 3, 2, we're narrowing it down. Tosafot, it's on 4. Third source on page 4. So remember, Tosa said the reason they were attacking the Birchus Ariyah by Hanukkah is because there's a people who don't have homes. Aye, what about mezuzah? Then Tosa says, the od yesh lefarish. The ein shayach letakin leroa bracha shein ha'osim evarech. The reason we can be mitakeh Birchus Ariyah on Hanukkah is because one of the brachas we make when we light is a bracha that's shayach when we see. The bracha of leishev basukkah you can't make when you're looking at a sukkah. The bracha of netilas lulav you can't make when you're looking at a lulav. But the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim Lavotenu, you can make when you're looking at Neros Hanukkah. So let's ask ourselves, why do we have two brachos on Neros Hanukkah? One is the bracha about lighting, Lahadlik Ner Shel Hanukkah. The other is the bracha about reflecting. Sha'asa Nisim Lavotenu. From the institution of the brachot, we understand that there's aspects of this mitzvah that don't depend on me lighting. And this can explain the diuk we made in Rashi before. Rashi said, why were they attacking Birchus Ariyah for someone who didn't light yet? Sounds like, if you're on the way home from shul, and you see Neros on the way to light, you make the Birchus Ariyah right away. That's the Pashup Shat in Rashi. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Mordechai who finds this unacceptable. Mishalo hidlik v'aino asid lahadik, also a laila, makes Birchus Ariyah. But the Ritva quotes Rashi Pashup Shat, yesh omim devavarech al Ariyah, v'chozim evarech b'shashem adlik. The Ritva says, according to Rashi, you're walking home, you see, you say Sha'asa Nisim. You get home, you light, you say Lahadlik. Wow! And this seems to be Pashup Pshat in the Rambam as well. V'chol haro'a osa. V'lo birach, v'varach shnayim. What you're seeing here in the sheet of Rashi, and I would suggest the Rambam, is a total separation between the aspects of the mitzvah. The hadlaka, which is piersum, and the re'iyah, which is reflection. And this is why many people are knowing not to say the bracha of Sha'asa Nisim until one of the candles are lit. Why? Because you're seeing and reflecting. In essence, when we light, we're including the re'iyah within our mitzvah of hadlaka. But it's two separate components and therefore it can be separated. So all this is just regarding this last point about the individual component of why we have it in Ner Chanukah. So again, you could say, we want everyone to be Mepharisim, everyone should be a Chabad on Chanukah. Or we want everyone to make sure that they have their own reflection. And if the chi of bayit is something one person can do and taking care of for everyone, and the rest of the home never saw the fire code, doesn't know it exists, and doesn't care about it, that's a problem for Hanukkah. Yes?
The problem about being in a town with no Jews, you don't like it.
Yeah.
Still against Rashi and
Neitar Dvay. Goes against Rashi. How? People ask that kash. It's clear from the Gemara that Pirsum is only for Jews on Hanukkah.
The Rav, I believe, firm statement.
Mm-hmm.
From that Rashi about
the Numa
that was
Shabbos
to the
sticks. I'm familiar,
Tumidoi,
right.
It's an issue of Pesumi.
I'd love to see the piece. Because the Gemara in Halacha says otherwise.
Yeah. Specifically because you don't have that issue of Pesumi.
By the way, since you brought it up, I'll give you a something to go with. I'd love to see the piece of the Rav because it's against the Rishon in Halacha. I'd be shocked if he said it, but obviously if he said it, then there's value. So I'd love to see it. So, everyone has my email, etc. But I'll give you something to go with.
It's in Harikah.
So I'll give you something to go with. Is there a din of to what extent do we care in general Kiddush Hashem for Goyim? Right, no, it's different. Pearson, I'm giving you something else parallel. Do we care about Kiddush Hashem for Goyim? What would you say? What? Darkei
Shalom.
Darkei Shalom is something else. Darkei Shalom is not to cause machlokes. That's something else, for sure. We don't want to call Eva, Darkei Shalom. Is there a din of Kiddush Hashem by Goyim?
You mean for a Goy to be Mekadosh Hashem? Or
No. Do we care what Goyim are going to think about how we do things? Kiddush Hashem is in front of Yidin, right? The halacha I quoted before. If you're being asked to do a chet, right, put a gun to your head, it's only if there's 10 Jews.
And that means men and women can be counted.
For sure. So is he right? We don't care about Kiddush Hashem by Goyim?
It can't be.
Oh, okay. It could be, we don't feel it should be. So first of all, the answer is, even despite that Rambam, everyone agrees there's Kiddush Hashem by Goyim. There's psukim in the Torah and in Tanakh. First of all, Tanakh, because Tanakh includes the Torah. Nach, one of the most famous psukim, is in Yechezkel, Perek Chof, where he says that the Jews didn't deserve to be taken out of Egypt because they didn't put aside their Avodah Zarah when God told them to. And why did he take them out? Laman Kadeshmi. Who? Kadeshmi for who? The Goyim. And the source is in the Torah. There's a few other psukim in Nachtu, but the source is in the Torah. Where do we see in the Torah? What? Lama Yom Ragoyim. Lama Yom Ragoyim. Now there's Gemaras too, but it's good when it's like Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a decent source. The explanation for the Rambam is that there are different levels of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. Yehorig Val Yavar only applies to Jews. Yehorig Val Yavar only applies to Jews. Now, by the way, one of the most famous Gemaras, Yom Adav Peivav, is that a person should act in a way that people see and want to emulate, etc. Sometimes people get confused about Kiddush Hashem for Goyim, and they think that that means we should act in a way that they're going to like. Kiddush Hashem means we act according to our principles. Now again, there's no Jewish principle being obnoxious. You could get confused because Jews often act obnoxiously. So we don't say, I'm going to do whatever I want, they don't like too bad. No, but I'm saying if the Goyim don't like a mitzvah, we do it anyway, right? But in general, we want people to see it as being one thing. So again, you're going to send me that piece from the Harei Kedem. Yes?
In terms of the connection...
But by the way, just a second. Even if Rav Soloveitchik said it, which I would be surprised by, it definitely was not the opinion of Rav Yishon. Now you could ask, how could Rav Yishon disagree with Rav Soloveitchik? Okay, that's a fair question. That's a fair question, but it definitely is not the opinion. As you see, the Rishonim assumed it. The Rishonim assumed it here. You know what I'm saying? You see, and everywhere else. Okay, yeah.
You have the person for the outside related to the bayit, which is about the inside. Is there a significant connection?
I'm just going to stop you for a second on your ratio, because I want to say something beautiful. In essence, what you see from this shir is that the bayit should be generating the pirsum. And that's Judaism. The message comes from the home, not Central Park. I'm not against Lubavitch. And again, lighting in Central Park is a beautiful concept which definitely fits in, but it's not the din of Hanukkah. Yeah, continue. The sefer.
More than the coincident connection with Yetziat Mitzrayim and the home.
The mezuzah. Because, of course, the mezuzah, where does the mezuzah come from? Where do we get the concept that what's on your doorpost protects you? Makas Bechoros. Right? So I'm saying, definitely... So again, we don't have protection idea by Neres Hanukkah. We don't find that, though we find it by Mezuzah. But the concept of the Petach HaBayit being the interface and being something that defines, because the protection of Mezuzah and Dam is the defining feature. There's something beautiful about Dam Choros. Chazal make a diak from the Pasuk. It's Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. It says, which side of the doorpost should the blood have been on? The outside or the inside? Which side? Inside, because it says V'hoya Hadam Hazeh Lochem Laot. What protects us is how we define ourselves. God knows which home is which. So it's the interface on the inside. It's Pasuk V'hoya Hadam Hazeh Lochem Laot. Is that a pshat of Chazal? It's in the Pasuk. Yes.
If one spouse is at home and the other one is traveling,
right.
Spouse at home is being
Matrik. Right.
The spouse who's traveling would still be Mekayim as a Zichron Hanes?
Well, first of all, if you're in a place where there's Jews, it could be more than Zichron Hanes.
You're in a hotel room, you're by yourself.
Well, if you're in a town where there's Jews, if you're in the Glen Point, right? Is that what they call here, the Glen Point Marriott, right? So there's Jews around, so it could even be Midin Pirsum Hanes. Yeah. But Alocha Lamaisa, they quote this Mordechai, La Alocha that you light for Zichron Hanes, for the Bracha, yeah. Again, Achsanoi is the best. If you can contribute to the host, if there's a host lighting, so that's the best, and you can light yourself too.
Sounds Christian.
Midin Mahadrin. If the host is Christian, you wouldn't contribute to his tree. It reminds me, when I was in YU, 1990, so I was the Zocha to be the first one to go to the Soviet Union, Mitam YUSSR. How's that for a blast from the past, for those who remember that? To teach Torah. And so we went to Tallinn, Estonia. We landed, it was in December. We get taken to the home of the head of the community, the head of the Jewish community, who has a big tree there. Mm-hmm. Just where the Jews were in the Soviet Union. The head of the Jewish community. Yeah?
Following up on that question, if he's in a hotel, he can't light,
mm-hmm.
does he have a chiyuv to go out and
look for a home where he can be connected to? Well, that would depend if there's a chiyuv gavra or not, right?
Well, we're saying that
if you have in a hotel, you could light in your hotel room, because that's...
Right, but if you can't, then there's a chiyuv gavra.
If you can't, meaning the hotel won't let you?
Won't let you, or you don't have anything to light with.
You should go find something to light with. That's easy. Candles.
Right? You can't find.
So for the question is, how much you want to be makbid on Mahadran? That's the question. How much do you go out for Mahadrin?
So that you can at least say the bracha.
I understand. Well, I don't think you do it so you can say the bracha. You would do it so you can see the neros.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what you make the bracha on.
Yeah.
Again, you're a firm guy, isn't it?
So you
can
make
firm. Right. I want to make a bracha, right? Yes.
So in the end, if your family lights at home and somebody comes later,
right,
they say both brachas.
100%. That's the din of Mahadrin. That's the din of Mahadrin. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You said that Chazal were attacking a different level.
Right.
Is that so? Mahadrin is that different level?
Well, it depends how you understand Neri Shu Beso. To reiterate, if Neri Shu Beso is basically Chiyuv Gavra, then Mahadrin is a natural reinstatement of what really could be done Mi'ikar Adin. But if Neri Shu Beso is only a Chiyuv Bias, then you have to say that Mahadrin is an added level, because you don't have anything to resuscitate from Mahadrin. Right. Yeah. That's Sfat Emet.
Right.
Not me. Yeah.
The ideal mitzvah is the internal Zichron.
I didn't say that's the ideal mitzvah. It's a component of the mitzvah. The ideal mitzvah is to light it in a way where you have piersim, which also has Zichron. Yes.
So the Sha'as and Nisim Recha is on your internal...
The reflection, yes.
Right. So then, in a situation where I couldn't light or I couldn't see a menorah...
Let's say someone is blind. Let's say someone is blind.
I'm saying, when I have to look at a picture...
So that's a general question of whether pictures are enough, you know, for the mitzvah. Can you hear Megillas Esther on a tape recorder? And it's from the same genre. I'm not saying the two are connected. One could distinguish between sound waves and light waves, but that was an interesting question. Yes?
Let's say it's a Florida class.
Okay.
Right? They don't
right.
hold light. Right. But maybe they should all make the Sha'as HaNisim. Even if they don't make the Lahadra after it's lit by somebody...
It's an interesting thing. I'm not Sephardic, okay, so I can't speak for Sephardim. I do not think that is the custom. And I imagine the reason it's not the custom is because, since Sephardim, the lighting is always done by one person, so the brachas are always linked to that one person. Ashkenazim, who have a concept of spreading the wealth, you can spread the wealth further. I imagine. Again, I'm not Sephardic, and I haven't done Eon and Sephardic custom. That's my bet. Okay. It's always wonderful to share Torah with you. You should go with the Bernie. Okay, was it Gemara Shir?
What?
It was a Gemara Shir?
Yes.
Okay, I told, I promised. With a little machshava too, it's mutter, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the future, when you send me topics,
yes,
this is the type of
shir. I know. That's why I recommended it. You remember? Right?
Yeah.
I've been here. I gave the Megillas Esther shir.
Right.
I know what you're looking for.
Okay.
I gave you the other stuff because you didn't go with my first suggestion. I gave other stuff.
Right.
How you doing? How's everyone?
Thank God.
Good to see you.
So my son Daniel is getting married the fourth night of Chanukah.
That's my birthday.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
I just saw him at a wedding.
All right. Yeah.
Hey, looking good. In Israel, I assume.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's the shot. So there are many shots.
Yeah.
So he's and his wife to be won't have a bias of any meaningful existence the night they get married.
Okay.
So they're gonna light Yizei Shaliach in the places where they were up until the night of their wedding.
That's fine, because that's where you're living up to that point.
Right.
I thought you were asking about the night of the wedding.
So
the night of the wedding, they should light in the wedding hall. That's the custom. That was a bracha.
So I don't know. Most
bracha, we do that. Just like shul.
So right. So
the gatherings of people, we light the bracha.
So it doesn't mean
and they should be the ones to light, because
I think they're gonna light. I think without a bracha, I think they're gonna
light in the hall. But they'll ask your rabbi or a bath upstairs. But that's
right. But they're gonna. But they still, even if they were lighting in the hall, they wouldn't be yotzei the bias. So they want.
They would be yotzei the bias.
Right. So that's what they want to do.
They may not need because they don't have one.
And what about me?
Where are you sleeping that night?
So the problem is, we're going to get home after
that. So before you leave.
So we're leaving too early. We're leaving too early. So we're leaving too early and we get back to.
Where's the wedding?
So the wedding is in Neve Ilan.
This is what you should do. Let's make it easier. Take a room in Neve Ilan.
So take a room in Neve Ilan.
Give you, like, you know, take a room in Neve Ilan. Changing room, etc. You do everything. I don't know what time the chuppah is, but you can go at 4:15 and light. Or back after the chassidishah, go with your friends and make a nice thing. You know, we're all going to go and light together and make a nice thing with your friends.
Most of these hotels smoke detectors.
You light in the lobby, whatever they do in the hotel there.
And you need to
but if you have a room in the hotel, you can light in the lobby for sure. Right. Everyone does that.